by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, and no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass makes heaven in the middle of it. Grass makes heaven in the middle. We are grass makes heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. We've got a really fine guest coming to us. She's been with us before. She's Deborah Dupre, and my gosh, welcome to our program, Deborah Dupre.
Thank you, George. It's great to be back with you again.
Boy, a lot has happened since. Give our listening audience a little bit of your background and the work that you've been doing, what, for about 30 years?
I've been a human rights advocate professionally for 30 years, working with people here in the United States and for over 10 years in the South Pacific Islands and Australia with the Aborigines there. And when I returned back to the United States several years ago, I began to realize that perhaps I could reach more people in advocating human rights by reporting human rights news.
Oh, well, that's great. And so you came back and you started an energetic activity of writing and publishing and so forth, right?
That's right.
So you had this Vampire of Macondo. Tell us a little bit about that, this book.
Sure, thanks, George. Vampire of Macondo is a detailed and heavily referenced account of what really happened in preparation of BP's Gulf of Mexico oil catastrophe that began in April 2010. It gives a detailed account not only of the petrochemical military industrial complex's involvement before, during, and since then, but it also gives the stories that touched my heart, coming from people who were injured by the Corexit that was sprayed combined with the oil. And some of those people who are in the book are no longer with us. They did not survive.
You have a list in the front of this book of a number of different people that were involved in the Gulf oil spill. What happened to most of those? What happened there?
Many of those people were persecuted. Some of them did not survive. There are others like dear Ms. Savage, Merle Savage, who was advocating desperately for the people of the Gulf because she was one of the only survivors from the Exxon Valdez disaster. She did not make it through more than a year of advocating for the people of the Gulf. Her health had been bad when she started, which is the case with many of the people who have not survived. They had pre-existing conditions, but once they were exposed to the oil and Corexit, their bodies simply could not take any more. And so those were the first people we saw to perish in this. But the entire human health aspect of the catastrophe has been covered up. It's still being covered up, George.
You know, I see this BP advertisement on television all the time, and it looks like they're really doing the most for the Gulf that any large corporation could do. So that's not correct, is it?
I think it's a crime against humanity, and I explain that in the book. Those ads are nothing but fascist propaganda. And what they are doing and what our government has allowed and even what Obama has allowed is for those ads to come on, for millions of people to see it, to encourage them to even go down there and expose themselves to the poisons that have already killed people. That's criminal.
What is the situation on the Gulf now in the worst areas that you could identify?
The dolphins are dying. They're still bleeding. People are still dying. You know, experts, scientists had predicted 4 million to 20 million people will die prematurely because of their exposure to these toxins. They were deliberately poisoned.
What was the problem? They used dispersants instead of trying to use some kind of an enzyme to clean it up. Was that one of the major mistakes that was made?
Exactly. Yes. From right after the event occurred, the government would not even speak to people who were offering safe, healthy alternatives. There, the decision had been made to use that dispersant. And our government and our media continued to cover up the injuries that were happening from that. And you know, an Australian program just aired this past month that showed people in Australia the truth about Corexit. They interviewed some of the people who are suffering down on the Gulf. That was exposed in Australia. And do you know, there isn't one mainstream media program that's exposed the same thing here in this country.
And what was that again? Say that again.
There still isn't one mainstream news program that has exposed in depth the people who are suffering, dying, the people who have died from the Corexit and oil. Yet Australia television, this is a national television network in Australia, actually came over, interviewed people down along the Gulf, and they aired this just a couple of weeks ago. I wrote an article about it.
You have articles up on a site, don't you?
I do. I've been writing. Most of my articles are going to Before It's News Now, George.
Okay. Before It's News Now. Okay.
Well, Before It's News, it's called. And
yeah, Before It's News. Here it is right here. Yeah, Before It's News. Contributed by Deborah Dupre and Jindals. $1 million hookers control Louisiana. Sinkhole wetland destruction. That's your latest article. I think it was put up today sometime.
George, you're on the ball. Thank you. You must be one of my best fans.
Oh, I listen to you all the time. There's a big sinkhole in addition to the disaster caused by the Gulf oil spill. There's a sinkhole. What problem?
It's another fossil fuel, oil and gas industry, man-made disaster. And it was covered up pretty well for quite a while. The governor refused to go over there and even see the people, although he had declared it a state of emergency and a mandatory evacuation. I don't think he wanted photo ops, because what this sinkhole is different to other sinkholes. This sinkhole is filled with toxins from the oil and gas industry. It is unprecedented. It is a historic event, and it's now 24 acres in size.
24 acres. Give us a location of that approximately, Deborah.
It's about 50 miles southwest of Baton Rouge, the capital of Louisiana, and so that makes it west about the same amount, maybe 60, 70 miles west of New Orleans.
Okay.
And it's in the Bayou Corn, Grand Bayou area. It's between those two communities, Grand Bayou and Bayou Corn is what they're called, and that's in Assumption Parish.
Okay, you grew up in this general area or very close to it, or what?
Yes, George. I was born in New Orleans, grew up in Baton Rouge. I had relations. My closest relations were in those two places, both in New Orleans and Grand Bayou, Bayou Corn area. So I spent some of the best days and weeks of my childhood and youth there, right where the sinkhole area is now.
And you say it's how large in size now?
24 acres.
24 acres. How is it deeper? I mean, what, describe it a little bit the best you could. Is how deep is it? It's 24 acres. Is it in diameter, or is it regular in size, or is it more of a circular hole, or what?
It's cone-shaped, George, and it's the last records, I believe, showed it was 750 feet deep. But the problem is that it's caused by the salt dome that is there, and the salt dome, the edge of that is crumbling. There was one cavern, you know, the salt domes are used to store the petrochemical industry's products, and
okay.
They store them in caverns that they create. They drill down and create a cavern. And so that's what the companies have, these different caverns in there. One of those caverns was allowed to be put in by the state without the state checking exactly where it was going. And it was put too close to the edge of that salt dome. It is now crippled, and it is crippling the entire 1 mile by 3 mile Napoleonville salt dome, which is a huge catastrophe in the making, most people believe who have been watching it. The officials say, have repeated, that they really do not know how to stop it. And, of course, in 1980, Louisiana experienced a major oil and gas-related disaster over a salt dome that has a lot of similarities to what's happening here. And that, when that sinkhole happened there at Lake Panure, it sucked down massive barges. It just sucks that. One thing that's happened over the past couple of weeks is that FEMA's worker there, the director at Bayou Corn, in charge of the sinkhole on a local level, took a video of this sinkhole sucking down a grove of trees. Well, he posted that, and it went viral. It went viral like Erin Brockovich couldn't do. You know, she's representing some of the people, or she's advocating for some of the people there. But even news about that did not spread globally like John Boudreau's video of the trees being swallowed by this monster sinkhole did. And so since then, there's been, of course, this new awareness. But even so, Governor Bobby Jindal is still pretty much avoiding the issue publicly.
When did this begin? When did that sinkhole first start?
We know that it existed by August 3rd a year ago.
Okay.
For 2 months before that, locals were complaining to state officials because they were noticing gas bubbles in those bayous that shouldn't have been there. They were worried. And they complained, they reported, complained for 2 months before the state finally did something and Jindal declared a state of emergency. Once he did that and brought on a team of experts, the chief geologist among those experts was able to track what the complaints were in terms of feeling earthquakes. And within those 2 months before the sinkhole, and the sinkhole was only 400 feet at that point, he was able to show that there had been thousands of earthquakes in that area, man-made earthquakes by the oil and gas industry during that two-month period when people were noticing the bubbles and feeling some shaking. Well, since then, some of those shakes have destroyed the foundation of some of the houses. Methane is leaking under some of the houses. Some 60 families have been bought out and become energy refugees. One company finally went in and paid them a pittance for their properties, but they're so desperate and afraid of a methane explosion there. And the officials have said, yes, a methane explosion is definitely possible. People need to move out. This is not safe. But plenty of people have stayed anyway. Just, I don't know what they think they're going to do if an explosion occurs. I'm afraid for them.
Right. Have there been levels of methane where people have been injured already or contaminated or overcome by high levels yet or anything like that you know of?
Yes, Dr. Wilma Subra has been monitoring the health aspects. She's asked people to report to her. She's gone in, they've monitored, and it isn't just methane, it's also diesel. It's oil that's being spewed from way down deep below these caverns. It brought up and spewed out with the gas as hydrogen sulfide levels were so high, and that's happened a few times, that people were concerned. The people have cried saying they already know that cancer is a problem in their communities because they're so close to the oil industries down there. But now the problem has escalated.
So you're talking about poisonous gas that if people got enough, a whiff of it, a strong enough presence of it, they could die from that pretty quick, couldn't they?
Well, with hydrogen sulfide, they surely could. They could die in their sleep. That's happened before.
Well, and then people were working on rigs, well, oil riggers and drillers have died from that, explosions of oil rigs because of the same problem. Have they not?
They certainly have. And one of the big risks here is that if an explosion were to occur there, we don't know how far sparks could travel, say, to one of the nearby refineries. And between there and New Orleans and there and Baton Rouge, that area is just filled with refineries. If you drive down the country roads or the main highways, all you see are these huge refineries with this ominous, dirty smoke that they're spewing. So the methane issue is huge. And, you know, this is something that the late Matt Simmons had tried to warn the nation about. And he had said specifically people in Louisiana were at risk after the BP's oil catastrophe began, specifically because of the methane. And what we know now is that, well, we've known methane travels before the diesel. That's been seen to occur right there in the sinkhole area. But one of the big problems is that there are fault lines that are interconnected from the Gulf, right in the area of the Macondo well. Thus the title of my book, Vampire of Macondo, interconnected right all the way up through where this sinkhole is. Methane can travel through those interconnected fault lines. And nobody, no official, no expert has denied or refuted the possibility that this was created initially by the BP oil spill.
So You're talking about just a tremendous, blowing up of large areas and maybe refineries if the worst case. Is that right?
I guess the worst case, I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but I do believe that many people are concerned about that possibility. Nobody has said, no official has said, no, that's just not possible. As a matter of fact, the sheriffs down there are doing an admirable job, and one of the sheriffs has already said it will be one of the greatest catastrophes the nation has seen.
My gosh, is there any solution to this whatsoever? Yes. Or at least, but Jindal, what would the experts say recommend at this time stage of this disaster?
Well, I don't think that the experts who are involved are going to say what I'm going to say about it, because I think that they're working for the oil industries, and I've had one insider tell me, if such and such a company in the response team is involved, you can guarantee it's going to turn out to be a catastrophe, because that's what's happened before. You know, George,
okay.
As long as America is addicted to oil, as long as the American people do not oppose fossil fuels and insist on alternatives, these catastrophes are going to continue, and they're going to even become worse. That's the only solution. You know, other countries have done it. The United States is way behind. But the United States government, from the top all the way down to Bobby Jindal, are bought by the oil and gas industries. Just the article I published today shows that Bobby Jindal was paid $1 million by the oil and gas industry during his campaigns to be elected. These officials are working for very dangerous and dirty industries.
Right. Those were contributions to his campaign, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So he can lay it off on that for that reason there, but we know who actually contributed the money, and the large money contributions would have to be from some large corporation. Usually.
They are from large corporations, same as Obama received. And that's all in my book, by the way. That's all detailed, how much each of these political figures have received from the industry. So they're just puppets for the industry.
You have a chapter 8, Nazis in the Gulf. What do you get into in that chapter?
Well, I explain the history of Nazis coming over to the United States and what their roles were and how they are directly involved with the oil and gas industry, including what has happened in the Gulf.
Right. There's a new book out now written by Stephen Kinzer. It's going to be published October 1st. It's called The Dulles Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Their secret world war. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And those two did a lot of damage to this country. Would you agree?
I certainly would. And it's interesting. I'm glad that book is coming out. What we've seen are those same names that appear in plenty of criminal activities. They just pop up over and over and over again. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for the belief that's who's in control of this government. I just published an article called The CIA Within the CIA about the shadowy government, and they use Nazi tactics, whether or not they're Nazis or not.
The labels, we've got to be careful, I think, in today's world, because if we take too strictly those labels, it's more like fascist type of mentality. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Whether they're Nazi Germans or they're Franco-phalangists or whatever, it's a mentality. But men are the ones that exhibit it the most, do they not?
Men.
Men.
M-E-N.
Yeah, well, see, I have what I call the man problem, and many of our listeners don't like it when I get into that, see? But I hit on a pretty hard men in general because their ego and all that.
You know what, George? I have hundreds. I have probably received over 1,000 emails at this point now from targeted individuals. When I say targeted individuals, these are people who are being targeted in a similar fashion to Obama's targeted kill list, his targeted assassinations, but this is all being done covertly, of course. And what we know from very rudimentary data is that most of those people who are targeted are not your high-profile men like Julius Assange and the late Michael Hastings, the reporter who was killed in the car, or Snowden, or Bradley Manning. The majority of those targets are women.
Really?
Yes. That's we know that much. Now, I would say, I'm going to say maybe, this is rough, 7 out of 10 of the people who write to me are women with these accounts of their computers being hacked, unforced entries into their homes, someone coming in and destroying their property, having them blackballed so that they can't get work. These are things that I've researched and been able to see that the numbers are there in each division of those. Like 50% of people who have a house break-in are reporting there was no forced entry. And we know now, of course, there's an easy way to get into homes, even if they're locked and deadbolted. And the FBI spent a lot of money making sure that they have that little device, a very inexpensive little device, that you can make yourself or something similar to it. But anyway, all of these things that the targets are typically telling me about are quite well referenced in credible reports.
Okay. Are many of these women reporters or journalists in related areas or activists? Are they a lot of the ladies there, are they activists like yourself?
Some of them. Many of them have blown the whistle on the company they were working for. And they realized that's when it started. Now, some of the stories are so interesting, I wish I could publish all of them. Some of them exposed high-level crimes. Plenty of them they think that their targeting started around that time. But one of the interesting things is that there's also a cohort of them who noticed the targeting after they separated from a former male partner.
Okay.
But it seems like their names are on a list, and we know that it's not that difficult to get your name onto a list by NSA. Yeah.
You remember the name Karen Silkwood?
Of course.
That is a primary example of if you go against the big industry of nuclear energy or whatever, they'll come out and do you in.
You know, that's absolutely right. And, you know, an environmentalist now is on the list. There are 72 characteristics. I just posted this past week, too. 72
okay.
characteristics that the government specifically looks for to identify someone as a terrorist. And, of course, environmentalists are right up at the top of that list. And one of the persons that I'm honored to be associated with is Bill Taylor, who actually was on the Silkwood case. There was a movie that came out about Karen Silkwood. He's actually in that, but he was the He was a key private investigator for that case, and he is validating the targeted individual's reports. He has spent quite a bit of time with using technological gadgets to see if their accusation or their claims are correct, and he says practically every time he's done it, and he's done it dozens of times, including for some people in Hollywood, he says they're telling the truth. This is really happening, and they are being covertly assaulted through micro energy weapons and enough.
Psychotronic is one word that has been used to describe those kinds of attacks.
That's exactly right. So there's a lot of weaponry out there that people just aren't aware of being used, even scalar weaponry, which it's a possibility scalar weaponry could be used to trigger all kinds of havoc in the environment. But anyway, back to the targeted individuals. It's a very tragic state of affairs when America's best people, and that's how the private investigator Taylor calls them. He says the best people are being targeted. The best people are having their lives ruined covertly. The best people's names are on these hit lists.
It's an extinguishing of America's finest and liberty and freedom along with it. Looks like it
to me too. You know, and the only thing that I can see,
You know, Deborah, I never would have thought I'd be talking to someone like yourself years ago. You know what I mean?
No. Well,
but you probably wouldn't have been talking to someone like me either. but you know, we're having common threats on our individual freedoms and liberties. This is what's bringing and awakening a lot of people.
I guess so. And you know, I've heard people say, It's got to get worse. More people have to be targeted. More people have to suffer, unfortunately, before they will really stand up against this.
That's right. You put in there, gosh, I'm getting some kind of an echo right now.
Let me see. Okay.
Am I still echoing there to you?
I don't hear an echo right now at all.
Okay. Okay, it's just coming back to me, then probably I'll be okay.
But anyway,
Howard Zinn, you refer to him in some of your writings.
He's one of my heroes.
And also there's a book that you refer to about the Nazi dynamic here.
That's right. John Hawkins and I can't remember the other name escapes me, have written an amazing book that was recommended by Mr. Zinn. And it gives a wonderful, in-depth history of Nazis right here in America and what they've been involved, what crimes they've been involved, high-level crimes. And it includes all the top elected officials who we know are war criminals and torturers and it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, it sounds like it. My research in the last few years has been such that I've been Paul Manning's book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile.
Yes.
Also, Gerard Williams has not only written a book called Gray Wolf, but he's produced a movie, a drama documentary out of Argentina. And I started putting on the air many of these types of stories and waking up to, well, we knew about Paperclip, right?
Well, not everybody, George, unfortunately, but...
Well, tell our listening audience what your idea of Paperclip was, or your explanation of it. What happened there on Paperclip?
Just very briefly. 1943, the United States decided to bring a lot of the absolute worst criminals in the Nazi Jewish Holocaust over here to the United States, and they ended up granting them visas. They gave them top-notch jobs, but one of the most important things that happened with most of those, and it was something like 12,000 people.
It was in the thousands of people that they brought over. That's true.
Staggering. And thanks to the New York Times. I can't always say thanks to the New York Times, but they did a wonderful job of getting the actual files that had been hidden away for all these decades, just last year, I believe. And they showed just how many of these people were brought over. But one of the most important things that happened was that they took the worst of the worst of those to join with our Secret Service back then, and together, that's how the CIA was birthed. They partnered, our people partnered with those Nazis to form the CIA. And so, you know, when you look at these decades of atrocities that the CIA has initiated, been involved with covertly all over the world, including here in the United States, it makes a lot more sense.
Yes, it does. One of the examples of getting rid of someone that was Sukarno of Indonesia, there's quite a story about that, and it had quite a New Orleans connection.
It's amazing how many do have.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we have Guy Bannister down there in New Orleans giving shelter to Lee Harvey Oswald, and he was handing out a pamphlet written by Carlos Lamont, Thomas W. Lamont's son,
yeah,
the guy that was at Jekyll Island, his dad.
Yeah, that, you know, when I said a while ago, these same names continue to surface as research, you know, as various stories unfold. It's the same name.
Yes.
And a lot of them are connected to the Bush dynasty. A lot of them are connected to people who are right there controlling our government. Yeah,
the Brown Brothers Harriman is in the middle of this.
Yeah, and I don't know if you ever read the book. What was it? Mary Ferris and the Monkey Virus?
Yes, uh-huh. Mary, yeah, I've read that. It was written by a resident of New Orleans, a hometown.
Yeah, because one of our primary researchers down there was killed in all of that because she wanted to expose that vaccine was dangerous and it shouldn't be given to the public. But when she started making noises after it had been developed, she ended up dying an untimely, horrific death in the research lab.
Right. So, and I think they were developing, I believe at the time, a cancer virus to be smuggled over and contaminating, Fidel Castro's food, and they're going to give him cancer by using some cancer virus or something like that was one of the things that were working
on. Yeah, well, there are so many covert ways of helping out Obama with his targeted assassinations. It's scary.
Yeah, one of the things in my own work in the last few years, David Harvey is quite a spokesman from the Marxist communist side, but also David Rubenstein. Both of those people are saying the same thing about following a model like the Chinese state capitalist model.
Interesting.
Yes. Both are making pronouncements, whether on video or at meetings like Davos, the World Economic Forum. David Rubenstein said that capitalism as we know it is failing. We ought to look to the Chinese state capitalist model. And David Harvey is saying exactly the same thing. So what's been going on is that whether you're talking about the Fabian Society or any other thing, the ultra-capitalists have been behind the communist socialist movement. And the reason why is they want to build a statist system for the lower level, social levels, and then control people through benefits and programs.
Huh.
The highest level you're right on top of that. It's the capstone of this evil system is a fascist system.
Absolutely, and you know.
And as you go down this pyramid, they're going to bring in world communism, socialism, and then dole out through benefits and program systems control over the masses. That's why they're advocating a Chinese capitalist model, which is state capitalism, like the Russians had, see, and like the Chinese have. So, I mean, the whole thing is a deception, see, is what I finally began to wake up to.
Yeah, and it's meant to be a deception, that's for sure.
It is. And like you're pointing out, too, some of the finest people, whether they're in the Patriot movement, the environmental movement, or whatever, are being liquidated and done away with.
Yes, and I hope people will go to Before It's News and type in my name. Go look at the articles that I've written just over the past few weeks, because, you know, for there to be the 72 American types that the U.S. government considers potential terrorists, it's pretty hard to not be included in one of those.
Yeah, that's a lot. You also list, what is her name, the ten steps of fascism or whatever, of a fascist state?
Yes, Naomi Wolf.
Yeah, Naomi, I got to meet her last October here in
Austin. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi Wolf, she spoke here on her latest book here in Austin. There's a book fair here, annual book fair, that Laura Bush originally founded and sponsored. Mm-hmm. And so Naomi Wolf was here and gave a fine speech, you know, in these same general
Well,
you know,
she's
area.
Spot on. We have taken every one of the 10 steps that make up the blueprint of fascism. And why more people have not opposed it, I can only blame on being mind controlled through television, mainly.
Right. When we're looking today, the focus, especially this weekend, is Syria. What are some of your ideas and comments on the Syrian situation, especially the chemical attacks? What are some of your ideas there, opinions?
I just see it as another, the same old false flag situation that our operatives go in, these forces go in, our U.S. forces, and create havoc however they can. This is not the first time chemicals have been used. They're saying the Saudis actually provided those chemical weapons, which the United States would have supported. And so the false flag happens, and that gives us a pretext for going in supposedly to begin a war, another war.
For humanitarian reasons, right? Isn't it always for humanitarian? And they destroyed Libya for humanitarian reasons.
Yes, to take democracy to these countries that don't want us, don't need us, but we need them, and what we need are their resources, and this is all about a pipeline that all goes back to the same fossil fuel industry, corruption. And this is where it just doesn't end. If people could just see, it seems so obvious to you and me, George.
Well, the thing is, though, I believe, Deborah, is that the level of evil here by these so-called leaders, and some of those are psychopathic type characters. And it is hard for the average person to imagine how evil this leadership is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that holds true. It helps.
They're into denial about it too, right? They don't want to think that way about
No, they don't. And the media's done a good job of helping them stay in denial. I think the media is complicit in these war crimes, and I do think that Obama is a war criminal, just like Bush is a war criminal, and they need to be indicted. And I find there a little bit of hope in the fact that I think it was by last night, there were 174 congresspersons who have told Obama in writing that if he goes ahead with Syria, he is violating the Constitution, and that is an impeachable offense. So that it's interesting that now not all of those are Republicans either. Something like 17 were Democrats. So this is, yeah, I think that's very encouraging. Not that I really believe that they would impeach him, not that I believe that he will be indicted any more than George Bush, but this is the first time we've had this many people stand up to an illegal attack against one of these countries that have been on that list to take over since before 9/11. The year before 9/11, those countries were listed. The oil pipelines were on the maps. All that documentation has been shown. These countries were doomed from back then when Cheney was in charge of the SG committee.
Yes. Well, Wesley Clark, General, have you heard that YouTube, that interview by Democracy Now?
Yes, of course. And
But it goes back further than that. Bernard Lewis put forward the Bernard Lewis plan back in the 70s. And what it was to take down the nation state, the Arab nation states, and balkanize the whole area, and that's what's going on.
That's what's going on, but it will be to the benefit of the United States and Israel and those.
That's right. That's who's behind this whole problem. Is we've got to try to do what's right for this country first, and then help Israel or other allies after that fact. See. But we've got to start looking out for United States interests.
Do you think that either the Republicans or the Democrats are in a position to ever be able to do that now?
Well, they're bought and sold for by the Israeli lobby. That's the problem.
That's right. So,
and the American public have been lassoed into this thing through the Christian right. See what I mean? And Jesus and all that other stuff. And I am a Christian myself. But I call myself a simple-minded Christian, where I get down to the Ten Commandments. I don't go out with people's wives and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm too old to go out now anyway, but I never did that. Every once, when I finally committed myself to doing what's right in my late 30s, early 40s, I stopped all of that misbehavior and drinking and everything, see? And decided to that's when I finally discovered what I call the man problem, see. It has to do with the ability of men to abstract, and that's a real problem, see.
Well, I'm glad that you air that in your
book. But men don't like me because I'm telling them they're all into denial. Many men are good men, but they're still into denial about the essence of their core problem, and that's that ego and sexual drives and all that. They can't control those kinds of things.
Yes, yeah, and unfortunately for many of our younger ones, they get sent onto the battlefields with that.
Yes, and they're just throwing lives away. But what I say about Afghanistan is what I say is false self American generals are fighting false self Taliban, you know what I mean, natives.
Well,
you know
of course, and when we're supplying the terrorists, when we're supplying Al-Qaeda with the weapons of mass destruction, the mind boggles. But you're right. I never would have thought that I would have lived long enough to see this happen as clearly as I do and know that it's going on and try.
They have, since 9/11, they've just accelerated the destruction of what's good in this country.
Yeah.
That's a problem, and they're accelerating it more. They've got those seminars and conferences, and they've indoctrinated the military and the law enforcement. See, and invented these domestic terrorist types of patriots and Tea Party or people like environmentalists.
Sure.
See, and they put those all together, and we're the
enemy.
Well,
absolutely.
Right?
If you're against if you're against the corruption, if you're exposing the high level crimes, they want to do away with you. So they'll call, you know, a psychopath always reverses what they are, and they call their victims the psychopaths. So that's That's exactly what's happening here. There's a collective psychopathic situation happening, and the ones who are really evil have managed to be in control and say everybody else is evil because we're in their way.
Yes, we are. But these people have no conscience. That's one of the characteristics of a psychopathic character, personality.
Absolutely.
So they can do this without any restriction about their own, you know, conscience bothering them.
Yeah, that brings to mind this party that the Louisiana state officials are throwing for the oil and gas industry. How much money they're recommending that the people stay in one of the most luxurious New Orleans hotels. It's an amazing place. They're throwing this lavish party for these people, while all along the southern part of that state, people are sick. There's a high cancer rate. People have been dying since the BP oil spill. People are still suffering. They have no work. The fish is tainted. Yet these people are going to have this grand party.
Oh, man. How hypocritical.
They have never given one penny, George. I told you this the last time we spoke. The government has not offered one penny for the people's welfare. They didn't help prevent the illnesses. They didn't provide any opportunities for those people to combat these poisons. All they did, and this sounds like Nazis again, they researched them.
Oh, just to document how they deteriorated and died?
That's exactly right. And oh, but they offered them. They offered to these poor people a $50 gift certificate if they participate in this. It's a massive research. They expect it to go 10, they're hoping 20.
Was that certificate coupon good at any big box store? and I'm thinking of one in particular, but I won't say.
Right. Exactly.
Where there's only Chinese products, you can't get anything American in there.
Yeah.
Man. I tell you, it's crazy. The country is sick, and it's dying. But the public, American public, is into sports and all the wrong thing. See? Are they not?
Seems like it to me. But you know what, George? When I speak to some of the young people these days, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what they know, and it gives me hope.
Right,
I hate to think about what kind of world my grandchildren would live in. But then when I speak to some of these young people, they're just so filled with information, plenty of what shocks you and me, they've come to terms with and they're determined to change it.
Well, that's good. There is some hope there then, and hope springs eternal,
you know?
And my little work here on the earth before I pass or whatever has to do with delusion, see, and that's what we're all susceptible to, is being deluded by these great scions and these great personalities of the world, see, personalities are dominant over the lower, you know, echelons of social, you know, levels.
You know, that's actually the end of my book touches on that, and I think people are delusional about who the actual vampire of Macondo at that well that's still spewing oil and gas and corrects it is still being sprayed, according to insiders talking to me. People are a bit delusional when it comes to pointing the finger. They don't know who to point the finger at. They don't.
Sure.
I think it all makes sense by the end of the book for the reader.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll highly recommend that. And you know, Huey Long was battling the oil and gas industry down there a number of years ago, was he not?
Well, most of us. believe that's exactly why he was assassinated. He was succeeding. He was a people's politician. He was well loved. And he was going up against the oil and gas industry hot and heavy. So, and we know that there were people in the industry who said he had to be taken out. He was too successful.
Right. But, I read a book, All yes. the King's Men, yes. Are you familiar? And it was quite a book on that. And I spent a little time in Noyons, right? Noyons?
Well,
is that the way y'all say that? Say that again for
it, Deborah. I was born there. I grew up in Louisiana. I call it New Orleans.
Only y'all can say it right. You know, that you're going to have to teach us that. Us Texan boys over here in South Austin, you know. I'm doing actually a remote out here in my production van today. That's why there might have been a little background noise a while ago.
I thought that was you getting on your Harley driving.
Yeah, my Harley. I love those Harleys. But anyway, do you have any closing comments? We got about a minute and a half.
Deborah, want to thank you, George. It's such a pleasure to be on your show again, and thank you for letting people know about my book, Vampire of Macondo. It's going to be coming out for its second edition, so if anybody wants one of the last first edition copies, I hope they'll go to the website, vampireofmacondo.com. Watch the trailer. I just ask that you please watch the book trailer. And
well, I think it's available also on Kindle, is it not?
It is indeed.
Right? Okay. And so you can go into Amazon.com. Can you get it directly from you?
Sure. If anybody's interested at all, if they will just Google Vampire of Macondo, M-A-C-O-N-D-O, that'll take them to the site where they can find the different options, and they can watch the book trailer of the real people who have suffered, some of the people who died. That is there in the trailer, and it shows some of the lies, and it shows some of the powerful forces that have been hidden during the past few years since this happened, and the people who are still in control, these psychopaths. So I thank you for giving me an opportunity to
Okay, well, thank you very much, Deborah Dupre, and thank you very much, and thank you, and
good night.
Okay, bye-bye.